celebrated Christmas. Whether they believed in Jesus or not, they still celebrated Christmas. So my wife and I, we had a wonderful Christmas time. Although part of that time she got the flu. Some of you may have gotten it yourselves. But she's fine now, and I don't have anything, so I'm healthy. But we had a close call. She was sick for a couple of days, and we went to the urgent care, had a flu A virus maybe, which is not a good virus to get. So anyway, good to be here with you today. I know many people are traveling, so not many may come today, and that's okay. But I picked out a passage. I've never spoken on this passage before, from Luke chapter 2. And we just read a portion of it in our Bibles, or from the bulletin. But turn it, if you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at the story of Simeon and Anna. Simeon and Anna. Now it's interesting in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, let every fact be confirmed by two or three witnesses. So information and facts, and if you're in court, you had to have two or three witnesses who brought the charges against you or whatever. So it's interesting that in this passage in Luke, we have two witnesses that come forward about the birth of Jesus. And their names were Simeon and Anna. The word Simeon in Hebrew, of course these were Jewish man and woman, they were not related, they were Jewish, but they were not related, means to hear. So Simeon was, his name meant a hearing from God. He was there to hear from God. The name Anna can also be translated Hannah, and it means gracious one. So in the Jewish culture, when a name was given, there was some destiny attached to the name that was given to that person. Like Abram and Abraham, he was the exalted father of Israel. Jacob became Israel. Israel means he who wrestles with God. So names are really, really important. So these two witnesses are there in the temple, named Simeon and Anna. And what we find out about them is that they were elderly, senior citizens. Now, sometimes in our American culture, it's such a youth culture that our senior citizens can be overlooked, or our senior citizens are not viewed as important or whatever. But in the Jewish culture, the senior citizens were very, very important. They had a message to pass on to the younger generation. And I see some in the room here today of the younger generation. And so there's a message to be passed on to the younger generation. Now in the first part of this chapter, verse 21, it says, when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was called Jesus. So in the Jewish tradition, a young infant boy was circumcised 8 days after his birth. And that was in fulfillment of the law. And it's interesting, if you look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says that Jesus was born of a woman under the law. He was born under the Jewish law. The Jewish law. Now, the Jewish law was divided into three different categories or types of law. One type was ceremonial. So they had all these ceremonial laws about sacrifices and holidays and feasts and gatherings together. There was a ceremonial law that they had followed. Secondly, not only was there a ceremonial law, there was civil law, or government law, civil law. And they looked to the Old Testament on how to govern themselves, how to govern themselves. But then the third one, you had ceremonial law, you had a civil law, but the third was the moral law. Now, the first two are not intact today, but the moral law is. So Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Jesus came to fulfill. He was the perfect completion of the law. So when you think about the moral law that was imposed, Mary and Joseph, his parents, raised him in that moral law. They followed the codes that were given in the Old Testament. So there were three things that Mary and Joseph had to do as parents. Number one, they had to have their little boy circumcised. So they did that. Jesus was circumcised after 8 days. Another thing they had to do was give a name to the boy. Now, normally you would name your child after a family member or perhaps a friend, or for some other reason you would give the name. But the name they picked out for their little boy, verse 21, was Jesus. They picked the name Jesus. And I think we've talked about this before. The name Jesus literally means Yahweh is salvation. A Hebrew word instead of Jesus would be Joshua. Joshua. But it's translated Yahweh is salvation. That was a perfect description. It was a perfect name for Jesus, because Jesus would be the salvation of the world. This was the name given to the parents by the angel before Mary even conceived in the womb. The angel Gabriel came and said, name this child Jesus. The second thing that they had to do as parents, first thing was circumcise the baby, but secondly, there was a rite of purification. When a woman had a baby, they had to wait a certain number of days and then bring a sacrifice to the temple. It was 40 days. So these events are happening 40 days after Christmas, or 40 days after the birth of Jesus. And they came into the temple and they made an offering to the Lord, because of the firstborn son. And they offered in verse 24 a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Normally you would bring a one-year-old lamb for the offering, but if you couldn't afford it, you could bring two birds, which would be much less expensive. So it tells you the humble beginnings of Mary and Joseph. They were not wealthy. They did what was right, but they did the minimum in terms of the two pigeons. So they bring this as a purification for Mary and as a presentation of Jesus in the temple. So all this is happening, verses 21 to 24, all this is happening inside the temple. Inside the temple. And that's when we get introduced to Simeon and Anna. So all the requirements of the law were fulfilled. The parents fulfilled the requirement of the law. And let me pick it up at verse 25. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Simeon. And he had a great reputation.
It says four things were true about his life. First, he was a righteous man. It wouldn't that be an amazing thing to have people look at us as a righteous man or a righteous woman? And what that simply means is that he did the right thing. He walked with God. He was right in his behavior. He was right in his attitudes. He was right in his dispositions. He walked in rightness with God. He was found just in God. Simeon was a righteous man, but he also was a devout man. He was a holy man. He was a man who loved God. A man who loved God. He looked to God for the direction in his life. He looked to God for his salvation. He was righteous and he was devout. But the third thing it says, he was looking for the comfort of Israel. The consolation or the comfort of Israel. As you know, in the first century, Rome was the dominant empire in the entire world. Basically, they dominated the world, basically. And so the Roman rule was a harsh military rule over Israel. Israel had no comfort. They had leaders who were appointed by the Romans. They didn't have their own leaders. They were appointed leaders by the Roman military authorities. It was Pontius Pilate himself, the governor, as you know, who put Jesus to death, who made the order to have Jesus scourged and crucified. But this man, Simeon, he was looking for the comfort of Israel. And if you've been keeping up with the world news, I'm sure you have. You know, terrible things are happening in Israel right now, in the Gaza Strip, with the Hamas, with Israel, the fighting and the wars and killing and everything is going on. It's terrible. And Simeon was looking for the comfort of Israel, that God would intervene. But the fourth thing that was true of Simeon, he was a righteous man, he was devout, he was looking for the consolation or comfort of Israel. But the fourth thing, and I love this fourth one, verse 25, says the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And in this passage, the word Spirit or Holy Spirit is used three different times. In verse 25, it says the Holy Spirit was upon him. In verse 26, it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. In verse 27, it says he came in the Spirit into the temple. So the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, was upon Simeon. He was being led by the Holy Spirit. He allowed the Holy Spirit to live out God's life in his life. The final thing that was true of Simeon, and this is found in verse 26, is that it had been revealed to him. The Holy Spirit revealed it, that he would see the Messiah before he would die. So here's this elderly man. We don't know his age, doesn't give the years of his life, but he had been waiting and watching in the temple for many, many years. Waiting and watching in the temple. And as the year 2024 is right around the corner, what are the things that you are waiting and watching for? What are you waiting for, and what are you watching for? What do you want to see happen in 2024? For me, one of them for me is my father's salvation. My father is not a Christian. He's 96 years old. Does not know Jesus. And every day I pray for his salvation. So I'm waiting and watching for his salvation, my father. I'm also waiting and watching as I watch my grandchildren grow up, that they would come to know the Lord at an early age. So I'm waiting and watching them. I'm waiting and watching that I hope I can be a better husband to my wife and point her towards the Lord. I'm waiting and watching to see other friends who don't know Jesus come to know the Lord and salvation. I'm waiting and watching on that. I'm also waiting and watching for Jesus to return to the earth myself. We don't know when that is. We don't know, no one knows the date or the time. But we're all to be waiting and watching. Because one day, it could be this year, the clouds are going to part in the sky. And there's going to be a trumpet sound. And the heavens are going to open up in the sky. We read this in Revelation chapter 19. And Jesus will descend from heaven in bodily form to the earth and set up his kingdom on the earth. Amen. I am waiting and watching for that. When I go on my morning walk, part of my walk is I look up into the clouds, say, Jesus, is today the day you will return? He's in the temple. We don't know how many days, like I said, how old he was, but day after day after day after day, Simeon was in the temple watching and waiting. He didn't take a break. He didn't take a day off. He was there day after day after day. And you know what? He was there on this day. On this day, the very day that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple, Simeon was there on that day. He was there. And Mary and Joseph walk into the temple and they're holding the little infant baby, just 40 days old. They're holding that infant baby. And Simeon is in the temple and he looks up and he sees these two young parents walking into the temple. And the Holy Spirit says to him, that's the one. That's the one. Simeon takes the baby in his own arms, verse 28. And he blesses God and he says, now, Lord, you're releasing your bondservant to depart in peace. Because Simeon had seen the Messiah and had held the little baby in his arms. It's interesting. He goes on in verse 30. Simeon just bursts out in praise and he says, my eyes have seen the salvation of God. The word salvation means rescuer. He says, I have seen the rescuer sent from God. That's who Jesus is. He's our rescuer. He rescues us from our sin. He rescues us from our past. He rescues us from our failure. He rescues us from the dark places in all of our lives that we have. He rescues us and brings us into light. Verse 32 says that this rescuer would be a light of revelation to the Gentiles or to the nations. He wouldn't just rescue Israel. He'd rescue Americans, he'd rescue Europeans, he'd rescue Asians, he'd rescue Africans, he'd rescue Latinos, he'd rescue the nations. The entire nation, the world, would be rescued through Jesus. He throws out the life preserver for all. All we have to do is take the preserver in our hand and accept the salvation. So Simeon says that Jesus, this little boy and Messiah, would be a light of revelation to the Gentiles and a glory to God, to his people. And the parents, verse 33 says, and the parents were amazed. Imagine what they must have thought. I remember one time when my youngest, I guess, my, no, it was my first daughter, my oldest daughter, was an infant baby, just not very old, and for some reason, I can't remember the exact timing of how old she was, Brooke, but we went to a store, and my wife and I had the baby, no stroller. She was holding the baby in her arms, and this lady in the store walked up to us and said, can I hold your baby? And we thought, wait a minute, I don't know about that. She said, your baby is so beautiful, I just wanted to hold it in my arms. But meanwhile, my wife looks at me, you know, has one. We have this nonverbal communication through our eyes. You've done that, right? Says, no way on earth have you done that woman hold your baby. But I thought, the wonder and the amazement of the parents. The wonder and amazement of the parents. That this man they didn't know, Simeon, was saying these amazing things about their baby boy, who was 40 days old, in Jerusalem. Well, at the very moment, isn't God's timing great? You know, God's timing is always perfect. God is never in a hurry. God is never late. And God is always on time. Now, it might not be our timing, but God is always on time. He's never late. He's never in a rush. Nowhere in the Bible is it where Jesus rushed to the next thing. He walked to the next thing. I heard recently the sermon, this podcast, that said Jesus was a 3.5 mile per hour guy. And that's approximately how fast, when you're walking, that's how fast we're going, 3.5 miles per hour, something like that. That's the kind of God he is. He walks. He slowly moves and gets on time to where he wants to go. But don't you just love this? It says, at the very moment, at the very moment, at that moment, verse 38, at the very moment, another person comes up named Anna. So here's Simeon holding the baby up as a presentation to God and praising God for that baby's boy, the Messiah, Jesus. And at the very moment Simeon is holding up the baby, this other person walks up at that very moment. Her name was Anna, verse 36. It says that she was a prophetess. Not just foretell, but foretell the truth. Foretell the truth. She's the daughter of Phanuel. She's of the tribe of Asher. So she's a Jewish woman. And she was advanced in years. Advanced in years. She was an elderly senior saint, is what I call her. She was a senior saint. She had gotten married and had lived with her husband for 7 years, and then her husband died. She was a widow. And then it says, verse 37, she lived as a widow to the age of 84. And it depends on how you do the math. Either here, she's 84 years old here, or this was 84 years after she got married. She could have even been in her hundreds. She could have been 100 years old. Don't know. But she's at least 84 years old. Now, as I've gotten older, 84 doesn't seem that old anymore. Maybe it is. But in that culture, 84 is pretty old. And 100 would be very, very old. And listen to this description of Anna. She never left the temple. She served night and day with fasting and prayer. And she was looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna was a widow. And I don't know, there may be a widow here in this room, I don't know. And when tragedy strikes in our lives, the results can go two different ways. For some, when tragedy comes in a life, it can make them hardened and bitter. Hardened and bitter. And to be like clay that was left out in the sun. And the heat of the sun makes the clay harder and harder and harder and more brittle. For some, that's what tragedy and sorrow and pain can do. But for others who walk with Jesus, it could be the same tragedy, the same sorrow, the same pain. But there's a response of tenderness and of softness of heart. It'd be more like putting wax in the heat of the sun. And the wax grows softer and softer. So you have two hearts. A heart of tenderness or a heart of hardening. And it's our choice. We choose the heart that we want to have. And this woman, Anna, chooses the soft heart of walking with God. That's the kind of heart I want to have. I want to have a soft heart towards God. Because sorrow and pain and death and disappointment and heartache are all going to come to all of us. We're going to experience all of that. We have experienced it and we will experience. There's no, as a believer, there doesn't mean we're somehow exempted from all those things. It's simply not the case. The difference, though, is as a believer, we can find our strength in Jesus to walk through those hard things that come into our lives, whatever they may be. So you have these two senior citizen saints, Simeon and Anna. And I want to close with this, two application thoughts. Here's what I pick up from their life. First one is this. Trust, even when God's promise is taking longer than you'd like. Trust. Simeon and Anna trusted in the Lord that God would bring the Messiah into that temple one day. But we don't know how long they waited. 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 84 years? We don't know. But they trusted in God's provision for them. And God wants us all to trust in his provision, to keep trusting, even when it seems as if God's promise is delayed, that we need to keep trusting him in the midst of that delay. And the second thing, application, when we hear the good news, we need to keep telling it. Keep telling the good news. Keep telling the good news. When Simeon and Anna saw that baby in the temple, it says they told everybody about it. They didn't hold back. They told their people, their friends in the temple. They told their family members. They told strangers that they saw in the temple. They saw at the market, when they were in the market buying food, they would tell people there. They would tell people the good news. The good news of salvation. And that's the joy that all of us as Christians and as believers in Christ, we all have that same joy and privilege to tell others the good news of the gospel. So keep trusting and keep telling the good news. I want to close with this brief story. So I told you before how I became a Christian. I was a university student, University of Maryland. And so for Christmas, I get a letter every year from this friend of mine who led me to Christ in the dorm. And I've told this part before. His name was Charlie. Charlie. He was a little bit older. I was a sophomore in college at the university, studying aerospace engineering at the time, not theology, but aerospace engineering. University of Maryland. He was a junior, so he was just 1 year older than me. But he'd become a Christian the year before that. And when he came to my dorm room, he explained to me the gospel. But here's the thought I want you to remember. Later, I asked Charlie, I said, Charlie, why did you come to my dorm room and knock on my door in my dorm room? Why did you not come to my dorm room? Because there were 1,500 students who lived in this complex at Maryland, in a dorm complex. Here's his answer. Because your room was the next room on my list. You see, him and a friend were sharing the gospel with every student who lived in that dorm. And my room happened to be the next room, the next person to share the gospel with. You never know who it might be in your own lives that you could influence for Christ and see him come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And our piano player, there he comes. I'm going to close with prayer, and then we have a hymn. You okay? All right, just checking. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for Simeon and Anna and their example here in Luke. And the amazing things that we can learn from these senior citizens, these elderly man, this elderly woman who knew you and loved you, who set such a great example for us. Lord, I pray that we would trust you even when your promises seem delayed. I pray that we would trust you. And Lord, I pray too that we would keep telling others the good news. That we would not grow tired or weary, but we'd have motivation and love and joy to share the good news with others. Lord, we don't know what 2024 has in store for any of us. We don't know anything. We can't predict the future.
But we do know this, that you will go with us every step of the way. That we're not going to enter into it alone. We're going to enter into it hand in hand with Jesus, our Messiah. So we pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.